This is Passion Week. It's not because of the passion that we have for the death of Christ. It's the passion that he had for us and the reason that he did give his life for us. As we are looking ahead with tiptoed expectancy toward Easter, we have an opportunity to reflect here in the middle of the week and to think of the power of the words and the action of Jesus Christ upon the cross, the symbol of death, the act of great love that he had for you and me. I can only imagine what it must have been like to be able to be an onlooker, to be watching the Savior who'd healed so many, who was such an incredible miracle worker, and then to know as family and friends and bystanders that here, the man that was called the Son of God was bleeding, dying, beaten, and hanging on a cross. Passion Week. The passion that God had for us goes far beyond what we have for others. One of the words that was expressed from the cross, out of the seven that we have seen in the scripture, was the word that was so hard to believe. In a capsule form, it's the word forgiveness. And here's what Jesus said as he hung upon the cross, still with life and still with the longing to be able to be a part of God's plan. He said these words in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verse 34. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They don't know what they're doing. Jesus looked out upon those who were out to kill him, crucify him, take him down, bury him in a tomb, and he comes out with the words, "Forgive them." What a pattern, what a power, what a passion that Jesus had for you and me. The pattern that he followed was one that you and I can follow. So let's talk about several of the elements of this, one of the words from the cross from Jesus Christ our Lord. I think, first of all, we need to learn to forgive even when we feel wronged. You know, that just doesn't make sense, because when somebody does you wrong, you feel immediately defenseful. You just want to get back at them. You just want to make it right, move from what's right to revenge, and to just maybe rip them up. If you can't do it physically, you're doing it mentally sometimes when someone comes against you. But I think Jesus was helping us to learn that we need to forgive when we feel wronged. Bill Hybels, longtime pastor and author, said you can learn a lot about a person, and that includes ourselves, in the way that you pray when you're wronged. You know, when someone has messed your life up, all you really want to do is say, "God, go get them." But all the while, God is teaching us that we need to pray for them. Because I've discovered in my own personal life that when I have felt most wronged, when I'm able to just ask God, not just to forgive them, but to help me to look on the inside of myself. What is it that made them feel so strongly that they would say something like that, do something like that, or just be a part of trying to tear me apart? I think God uses our forgiveness to bring about healing in our own self. So there's several questions that we can ask ourselves when we truly learn how to forgive when we feel wronged. The first is this: is it little? What do I mean by that? I mean, sometimes we just get sideways and upside down because somebody's done something against us and we didn't expect it. It was kind of a blow from the side, a punch in the gut. And then we go back and we reflect on it later and we say, you know, that wasn't that big of a deal. So we've got to ask ourselves this question: is it little? If it's little, then learn to let it go. Then I guess maybe the best way to really understand how we can forgive when we're wronged is to say and ask ourselves the question, not only is it little, but am I little? You see, whenever we point the finger at another person with the blame game, to be able to be mad at them, there are three fingers that are pointing back at ourselves. So we've got to ask ourselves, am I being too little in this situation? In other words, Have I let pride take over in my life that I have to think that everybody has to do it my way? Jesus gave his life. He looked out upon those that didn't love him, but they loathed him and they wanted him gone, dead, out of the way. I think I've got to ask myself a lot of times, am I being too little in this situation in the midst of what really is not that big of a deal? And maybe the hardest question of all, if I'm going to learn to forgive even when I feel like I'm wronged, is this: will I let it go? Will I let it go? You say, well, John, I think that's real easy for you to say and to teach about how good it would be just to let it go. But you see, I've got this mind and it keeps rerunning all of the tape of what happened and what they said and why they did it. And I just don't have clarity in it and I can't let it go. You know, friend, you can't let it go alone, but God can help you to let it go. Why don't you ask him? Why don't we ask him in the midst of a world that seems to be so persecuting and so puny with all of the persecution and the punishment that we sense at times? I wonder if we would just learn to let it go. It doesn't mean that you forget it, because our mind continues to remember what goes on and what has happened in our times past, but we can forgive it. And with God's help, we must forgive when we feel wronged. Could I give you another example of what I believe is powerful when Jesus said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing? Not only should we forgive when we feel wronged, but we need to learn how to forgive when we feel and are betrayed. Now that's a little deeper, isn't it? Feelings can come and go, and they do. Emotions are a part of the human life, but when we know that we're betrayed, when we know that someone has come up against us, when we know that we've been wronged in the midst of what we know that we've tried to do, and that is to live rightly before God, well, there's some more questions that we need to ask ourselves. The first is this: is the criticism true? I've discovered in my own life and ministry that sometimes the little things that gnaw at me, and even the big ones that come after me, that sometimes there's an element of truth in every criticism. So I've got to come back again and look at those fingers that are pointing back at myself and ask the question, is the criticism true in my life? The second question that I need to ask, if I'm truly going to forgive when I know that I've been betrayed, is this: what must I do to make it right? Make it right? You say, well, I've been wronged. I can't make it right. Yes, you can, and it doesn't mean by revenge. Let's go to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18. It tells us what we need to do when we feel like we've been wronged or when someone is outside of the balance of life. The Scripture says that we need to go to them. Well, you say, well, I'm not going to do that. They're supposed to come to me. They're the ones who've messed my life up. No, the Bible says that if you know that you've been wronged, and you know that someone has something against you, go to them. Now, how should we go? Should we take a tribe of people and clubs and with anger go ahead and attack them? No. First of all, we ought to go privately. That's what the Bible says. Go one-on-one and say, here is where I have sensed that you don't understand and I don't understand, and we have come to an impasse in our relationship. So go privately. Secondly, go with a goal. If you're going to go privately, have a goal in mind. In other words, if the goal is just to get things right for what you think are right, then your goal is not placed in the right manner. Go with the goal to watch there be a mending of the relationship, not a bending or a breaking of the relationship. And the third go is simply this: go now. I think we put things off so much, and we're such professional procrastinators that we rarely go to get forgiveness when we know we need to right now. So Jesus, in his model, he didn't wait to ask forgiveness when he'd returned to the Father in heaven. He didn't wait to give that forgiving love and the passion that he gave as he sacrificed his life. He said it then. He said it at the hardest time of his earthly life. So we need to forgive when we feel wronged. We need to forgive when we are betrayed. And we need to forgive, and this is tough, We need to forgive the unforgivable. You say, well, I really don't understand what you're saying. Well, it's radical and it's not reasonable, but it is the God way. It's the God way because Jesus said it and because he lived it out. His passion for you and me was offering forgiveness. Should we do any less than that? It's not a matter of revenge. We don't forgive someone of the unforgivable in our life because it kind of gets back at them and it burns at them that we're not mad at them. No, it's not a matter of revenge. It's a matter of release. Release of what? Well, you're set free. You don't have to deal with it over and over and over again. But you know what? Our memory brings it back. So keep giving it back to God. Peter said these words, "Cast your care upon the Lord because he cares for you." A lot of you who are listening to me are fishermen, and you enjoy casting the lure into the lake. You know, if you don't cast it out there, you're never going to get anything. If you just sit there in the boat and hope that the fish is going to jump into the boat, it'll never happen. The same thing is true of the cares and the burdens and the unforgivable items in our own life. We need to keep casting them out there. And as we do, we're going to hook on to something greater than ourselves. Not just a feeling, but the reality that we can be released. That's why Jesus died on the cross, to release us and to give us freedom. And part of that freedom comes when we learn to forgive. Let's pray about it. Father God, we thank you so much for your forgiveness and for the power of your passion. As you gave yourself and as you opened your mind and your mouth and you said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Lord, help us to be like our Savior. Help us to be willing to forgive others. Help us to learn to let it go. Help us to look at our own life and see where we are and what we need to be doing. Oh God, I pray over our church family tonight as well. I pray for those who are sick physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I pray, Father, that we'll not just look at those that are sick, but that we would also look to the strength that you can offer our life. Thank you. Thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for being our Father and the forgiver of our lives. But we offer this prayer and we thank you for your message from the cross. In the mighty, forgiving name of Jesus. Amen.